We're going to talk a little bit from Matthew chapter 6 this morning, dive into the Word. We've been, over the last few times that I've been with you here at Bravehearts, I've been going through a series called Five Things That God Uses to Grow Your Faith, and we've been working through each of those five different things, and these things certainly come through the Bible, of course, because we teach through Scripture here, but they're also things that we have just recognized over the years that people say when you ask them, how has their faith grown? How has God spoken to them and prepared them, equipped them, challenged them to grow in their walk? These are things that consistently come up in conversations and across the nation, really, in polls and different things like that. They've come up. And so the first week, Chase, put those up there for me because I didn't put them in my notes, but help me remember and help all of us remember, right? So practical teaching was the first one that we covered, shows us where we are, where we need to go. Providential relationships allow us to hear from God through others, good godly friendships and relationships. Today we're going to be talking about private disciplines that tune our hearts to God's heart, and then the next two times that I'll be with you, we'll talk about pivotal circumstances, things that force us to look in God's direction, and then finally personal ministry. Getting involved in sharing what you have with others enables us to experience God's power. So I want to talk today about this D word, right? Discipline. It sounds like a terrible word, right? When you hear the word discipline, if you're a kid, you think of, man, I'm in trouble, right? I'm going to have to go see the principal. Dad's getting out the belt, whatever is involved, right? So from an early age, we kind of have this negative association with the word discipline. But it's a funny thing, you see, because discipline, when it's applied, when we live out discipline in our life, when we become a regular participant in some kind of an activity, right? And that, 'cause that's really what discipline means. When you're a disciplined person, it means that you can you get in a habit, right? You do things over and over and over again, and you create this habit within yourself that leads you to a place that you want to go. And sometimes those are full of things that we want to do. Sometimes they're things that you're not real happy about doing, like getting in shape or eating right or different things along those lines. But the funny thing is about disciplines, when you start doing one, when you start engaging with those, is they actually start to become an addiction or an obsession. Like you take an activity of, say, getting in shape. I have a brother-in-law, right? And my brother-in-law, when we go to see him, he is a very disciplined man when it comes to working out. And years ago, when he was younger and we would all come over for the holidays, you know, he had been working out and he was fit and trim. And I knew that he was in shape, right? Both of my brother-in-laws, actually. And I would show up at the in-law's house for Thanksgiving and I'd go, man, I'm going to feel bad because I have a shape, but it's not the same shape as they have, right? My shape's a little rounder than their shape. And every bite of turkey and every bite of dressing, I'm going, oh, these guys are more in shape than me because they get out and run. And my brother-in-law, one of them took it to the extreme so much that he started doing 5Ks and then 10Ks and then marathons. And now he does these ultra marathons, like 50 miles. He did one the other day, it was like a 100-mile trail run. The guy's insane, I think, you know, right? He's taken discipline a little too far on the other side, but he's gotten to this point that he has an adrenaline rush. He loves actually getting out and working out. And thank the Lord that my other brother-in-law followed my example and got out of shape. And so when I'm at Thanksgiving now, we can eat together and have a good time, and we can outnumber my brother-in-law that's in shape. So sometimes it's working out, you know, things like that. Other times it's a hobby or maybe like musicians. When I was in college, I wanted to play the guitar. And I grew up in a church tradition where we didn't do instruments. And so this was a new thing to me, right? And so I thought, I'm going to teach myself how to do that. And I would start playing that thing and my fingers would start bleeding because they didn't have any calluses, right? And I couldn't stick with the discipline. I couldn't stick with it long enough to learn how to play. I thought, I'm going to have to find a girl some other way because the guitar is not going to work. So I don't know what I'm going to do because my good looks sure aren't going to find one, so I'm going to have to find something else. But my other brother-in-law on the other side of the family, he kept going with that. He kept playing that guitar, and now he is a talented musician, has actually recorded a couple of albums even, and because he developed that discipline and that consistency in his playing to the point that he just loves it. And he just picks up a guitar now, and he'll just sit there and play, and it's amazing. You know, I think, man, his daughters have an awesome dad because they get to sit around and sing and play the guitar. So when we look at it, discipline is really, it feels like a bad word, but it's really not. Because you see, discipline brings about good results in our life. When we have a consistency in something that as we walk through life, when we do something with a consistency and a regularity, it develops within us some habits that help us get where we want to go. I mean, when you think about discipline, you think about doing things that you ought to do. But those things that you ought to do really are what gets you to a place where you want to be. There are always something that are challenging to us in the beginning because we're out of shape, right? When you start working out and you start working those muscles that you haven't worked very much, you get sore, right? And you have to overcome that soreness and you have to press through that and keep working through that. I recently was gifted with an elliptical machine, right? I'm going to get back in shape. I haven't been very disciplined with that thing because it hurts, right? I get up there and I've tried to work out a couple of times and you get sore and you get discouraged. But I want to get to the place where I have some good health, where my body's in better shape, because I know long term that's what's going to keep me going in life, and getting my body in shape results in an outcome that I really want to have in my life. And so there's four things that we know about discipline. Even though it sounds like a bad word, it really leads us to good places. The first one is discipline results in progress. You see, there's no progress without discipline. We don't move forward in life in whatever arena or whatever place that you are without discipline, without that consistently in engaging in some kind of a habit. The second one is discipline results in freedom. Discipline leads us to a place where we actually can walk in freedom, whether it's finances, whether it's our health, whether it's relationships, whether it's overcoming an addiction. Because some of us have gotten pretty disciplined with our addictions, right? We go back to that thing over and over and over and over and over again, and it's pretty easy. We've gotten our bodies trained to a bad habit that has led us to some outcomes in our life that we're not proud of. But on the other side of that, the same discipline that we engage in something that takes us down a bad path would also take us down a good path. Discipline also results in a good feeling, even a rush. Like my brother-in-law that runs these marathons, I mean, he says it makes him feel good. I'm not sure he's telling the truth, right? Because I just can't imagine how that would make you feel good. But he says that it does. So I'm going to trust him because he's pushed through those limitations and those the pain of getting into shape to where he actually enjoys that. And I just haven't gotten to that place. But he says that it brings a good feeling. So I'm going to trust him on that. I don't know that I'm going to get myself in good enough shape to find out if a marathon feels good or not. And the fourth one, discipline is beneficial. Regardless of our attitude about it, discipline is beneficial. If I'm on the treadmill and I'm working out and I'm trying to get in shape, it doesn't really matter what my attitude is about it. I can be cussing the whole time, going, oh, this is hard, I hate this, rah, rah, rah. But my body still gets in shape if I consistently engage that discipline, right? And so even when our attitude's not in the place that we want it to be, that discipline of our body can get us to a place that we want to go. And so essentially, discipline is this: it's doing what you ought to do so that you can do what you want to do. It's delayed gratification. It's a tool that we utilize to get us where we want to grow. And so in this series, we've been talking about these five things that God uses to grow our faith. And he grows it because our faith, our confidence, our trust in him, it's the essence of our relationship with God. You see, God wants us to live as if he's actually with us, as if he's actually a part of our lives, and that we can trust him to be the father that he says that he is. That we can trust him with our lives, that when he says something is good for us, that we can actually believe those words and then walk in that truth and experience the blessing and the goodness and the provision that God has for us. And so he uses these different things, like we talked about, the teaching, good people in your life, different events or circumstances that you encounter in your life to lead you into faith. And when we hear people tell their stories over and over and over again, one of the things that they talk about is some specific spiritual disciplines that lead them into a relationship with God, into an encounter with God, into a trusting place with God that gets them in shape spiritually. Activities that at first would seem intimidating to us. When I think about spiritual disciplines and I look at different things that we can do spiritually, and we'll look at some of these in Matthew chapter 6 here in just a second, they can seem intimidating. Just like working out in preparation for a marathon seems super intimidating to me. Just like practicing enough to learn how to play a guitar seems super intimidating to me. Some of these spiritual disciplines look like a mountain that would be hard to climb or that we might not be able to climb. But what things like showing up to life group for the first time, things like coming to Brave Hearts for the first time and sitting around a table with a bunch of other hairy-legged men is a little bit intimidating for the first time. Some of you guys that are newer, when you walked in, you didn't know what to expect, but somebody had invited you, said this was good for you, and so you showed up. But it can be a little bit intimidating to start engaging in those things. Giving. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Opening our Bible for the first time, finding a discipline of engaging in the Scripture. These kinds of things we understand or we hear would be good for us, but as we approach them, maybe they're a little bit, we don't know what to do with them. And so we're going to dive into that a little bit because, you see, I believe that growing, healthy, progressing, liberating faith that we have in God, a walk with God, requires discipline. It requires some consistency in our inputs. It requires us flexing our faith muscles, our spiritual muscles. And so these spiritual disciplines actually lead us to a place of good outcomes, of good results. And I've seen that in my life, and I've seen that in other men's life that I've been around. And so I want to share with you guys a couple of these this morning that come from an observation in Scripture from Matthew chapter 6. They're from experience as well in my life and the life of others. And there's a lot of disciplines that are out there. I mean, there's whole books on spiritual disciplines that you can read about different things that you can do that progress your faith walk closer to the Lord. I'm not going to spend all morning talking about all those. I'm going to talk about two that we're going to dive in this morning. And so I want to warn you before we dive into this, the problem with giving you a list or giving you a couple of these ideas is it may elicit some emotion in you this morning. It may elicit some kind of, misunderstanding or disgust or, yeah, the preacher would say that, but I live a real life and he lives a different life and these things don't really work for me. And I understand that. And I understand that when you're in an undisciplined state and some of these things may challenge you, that it might feel like guilt coming on you that I haven't done these things or I haven't developed these disciplines in my life. And I want to challenge you with that it's not really a feeling of so much of guilt if you're not practicing these things. It might just be a little bit of regret that you look back on your life and you think, man, I wish I'd have been in better shape as I got to this point because you haven't been disciplined in these. But I want to challenge you with that. Hang on to that feeling a little bit this morning. Let that be a motivator for you. Let that be a little bit of a driver this morning as we grab a hold of these things and talk about them and let that feeling spur you on or encourage you or drive you towards actually developing some spiritual discipline in your life. So the two disciplines that we're going to talk about today are giving God the first minutes of your day and the first dollars of your income. Two spiritual disciplines that I have found immensely powerful in my life. I prioritize my time, we prioritize our time and our money around His kingdom. That we actually give our time to the Lord. That we actually give our money to the things of God. And so if you find yourself wrestling with these things this morning, pay attention because faith is like our muscles. When it takes some time to get in shape. It takes time to exercise those and work out some of the kinks. excuse me. And but that's okay, right? Getting in shape is not a bad thing. And getting in shape spiritually is not a bad thing either. It may be a little bit challenging for you at first, but it's one of those things that if you press through and you continue with the discipline, it leads you to incredible results. So let's turn over to Matthew 6. If you've got that open, we're going to read a little bit there and dive into some of these scriptures. Because I believe this, that seeking God first with time and money actually breathes life into our spirits. So verse 1 starts out here. It says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. For if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." And I think it's interesting here how Jesus connects private acts of righteousness, and that would be another word for discipline, okay? As we talk about this, the scripture talks about an act of righteousness, but he's talking about discipline. It's the same kind of thing here. He connects these disciplines now with a reward that comes later. So verse 2. Excuse me. "So when you give to the needy," notice it doesn't say if, it says when. And talking about the needy, he's talking about almsgiving here. He's talking about a custom that the Jews had that happened outside the temple gates. When they were outside those places, that beggars and poor people would line up, and as they're going into the temple, people would give as they wished to help people that were poor, that were struggling. And what we found in Jesus' time and what he's talking about here is that a lot of people would make a spectacle out of this thing. Right? They would make a big show out of giving alms to the poor because they wanted everybody to see how righteous they were or how holy or how spiritual that they were. And so they made a big deal out of giving these people money. They wanted people to watch and to see that they were doing something good or something holy. It was kind of a public giving spectacle, so to speak. And for some of them, it was a guilt thing. Right? They just felt like they saw these people and they had to do it. And they were given this on top of their tithes. They didn't give their tithes and their offerings to the church, the temple, until they got inside. This was a whole other deal as they're walking it in. But scripture goes on to say, "Don't announce this with trumpets as the hypocrites in the synagogues and on the streets do, to be honored by men." See, they were looking for the honor that came with looking like they were really holy or really spiritual. And that's a danger that we have with practicing spiritual disciplines. And that's one of the reasons that we call them private disciplines this morning. He says this, "I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And so think about this. What would happen to your giving if you really believe that God sees it and he rewards it? And I can hear you saying, "Well, I just don't really believe that we should give because we'll get rewarded," right? That feels a little wrong. But just lay that aside for a minute here, because I'm not the one that said that. This is Jesus talking here, and Jesus said that God sees our giving, he sees this habit, this discipline that we have in our life, and that he brings a reward to that generosity. How does he reward us? I don't know how he rewards us. Does it really matter how he rewards us? I mean, a reward's a good thing, right? Is that a good thing? I would think a reward from God is a real good thing, whatever reward that might look like. And I think I would be okay with receiving that. But the reason that you don't give generously, if you think about it in your life, is because you don't believe this truth of Scripture. Because if we really believed that God would reward our generosity, that he would bless that, if we had this faith that allowed us to have generous hearts that were blessing people everywhere that we went, that said we trusted God with our provision, don't you think we would start practicing it a little bit more? Don't you think that it would be a little less painful to practice the discipline of giving? And so this discipline of percentage, priority given, it's an expression of faith. It's saying to God that I trust that you're going to provide for my needs. If I give this money away and I don't have access to use it for my needs, I'm saying, God, I've needed that. right? It wouldn't be hard if I didn't think I needed it. But it's when we do that, when we give, when we are generous, when we share, we're declaring to God that we're trusting Him to take care of that need. Because it's not so much about the need to who the money is given to, right? God, this discipline of giving in our lives is not so much about meeting the needs of other people or meeting the needs of the church or what happens with that money after it leaves our hand. You see, it develops our faith because it's for us. The sheer act of giving up our hard-earned cash realigns our heart to God's ways and God's kingdom and the things that He wants to do in our life. See, giving is not primarily about meeting needs, because God can handle that. God can meet the needs that are out there in the world. He can take care of those kind of things. It's about the condition of our heart and our faith. Giving money stretches our faith because it means letting go of the very thing that we trust in rather than God. It's the primary idol that we have in our lives. We don't often have, you know, little statues or figurines or those kind of idols that we worship in this day and age. You know, the things that we worship today have green on them. And I don't even know if I have any. Look, I have some right here. 'Cause isn't this ridiculous, guys, that this guy, Benjamin Franklin, on a green piece of paper, that we would take that and we would say, I worship this more than I worship the living God. It seems ridiculous. This is a piece of paper. I can wad it up. I can throw it away. This thing can't do anything for me. They say that money can buy happiness, but guys, serving the Almighty God, who is the maker of heaven and earth and the provider of all things, is going to take you a lot farther in life than this $100 bill. Benjamin Franklin doesn't have anything on the Lord. And so giving is saying that we trust God. Because you see, you trust God for your eternity, right? If you're a believer in Christ, right, you say, I believe that when I die and when I leave this planet, that God's going to take care of me on that side. I don't know what's going to happen on there. I can't see beyond that physical death that I experience, but I'm trusting, I have faith that God's going to take care of me on that side of eternity, right? We would all say that, and it's pretty easy to believe in that. Well, what about this? Jesus wants you to trust Him for the days that you have between now and the day that your body is buried in the ground on this earth. Doesn't it seem like it would be easier to trust Him on this side when we can see with our eyes and we can experience in reality what's going on than it would be to say we trust Him with our eternity? And so giving challenges us to trust God with our wealth. Trust God instead of wealth for our provision and for what's going on in our lives. And so if you were confident that God was with you, that He was taking care of you, what would your approach to life be? What would your approach to giving be? How easy would it be to take this and put it in the offering bucket on Sunday morning? How easy would it be to see somebody in need on the street and to hand over some of those green things to help them out, to get them a little farther down the road? How easy and joyful and happy would you be to do that? This past Sunday, we had a special offering here at church, and Jill and I had forgotten to talk about the special offering. We had forgotten to talk about what are we going to do to participate in that, because we've developed this discipline in our life to the point that we have fun doing it. It's not hard at all. It's easy for us. We like doing it, but we just hadn't discussed what amount. And so we're sitting there on the front row during the offering going, well, what are we going to do? What should we do? And I said, well, how about this amount? And she upped me one and about doubled what I was thinking and said, well, what about this? I was like, yeah, sure, great, let's do it. Because you see, we've developed that discipline in our life to where, one, we know that God's going to take care of us. I didn't have to go look at my budget to see what was going to happen if I made a spontaneous offering on that. I knew that it would mess my budget up because, you know, it's extra. It's above and beyond. I knew that I'm going to have to recover that some way or adjust or spend less on eating out or something, you know, to make. But either way, God, I knew God was going to provide for me, and I had fun. We had a good time doing that. And that's where we get to with disciplines. Just like with a marathon, just like with playing a guitar, just like with doing things that we love to do, as we develop the spiritual muscles to engage in these disciplines, we get to a place where it feels good, where it's a lot of fun, where we experience a lot of joy in doing that and worshiping God that way. The second discipline is this, before we run out of time this morning, is pray. In verse 5, it says this, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." And there it is again, Jesus connecting prayer with rewards. You see, the disciplines that we develop in our physical life come with a reward. They come with an outcome. They come with better health or longevity in life, or we have a retirement saved up or whatever. The same thing works in the spiritual realm, guys. Jesus is saying if you engage in these disciplines of faith, you end up being in a place that is rewarded, that the Lord looks down with you on favor and says, man, I want to bless that guy because he has been faithful with what's been entrusted to him. And so these prayers, these get-alone kind of prayers, the kind that we don't often have time for because we're so busy in our lives, lead us to a place of proximity with the Father. It says in verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret. God sees your prayers. He sees when you're setting time aside for that prayer time. He sees when you get in your pickup in the morning and you drive off out in the country to take the long way to work because you want to have some quiet, private time in that prayer closet that's about 3 seats wide. He sees the discipline that you engage, that you want to engage with your Father and you want to talk to him about your life, that you want to share with him what's going on in your heart, that you want to get beyond the physical things that are going on in your world and go beyond that into this spiritual realm of actually talking to your Father about what's going on in life. And so what if you believed that? What if you believed that your prayers matter? What if you believed that they actually make a difference? What if you believed that when you're in that prayer closet, when you're taking that time early in the morning to set aside and be with the Lord, that God hears those prayers and that he takes those seriously? Would it change how you pray? Would it change how often you pray? Would it change how you engage that spiritual discipline? Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So if we were to ask people who make this their habit, this prayer time with the Father, I think you would see this. The reward's not that they get everything that they ask for. Not that it's not a magic solution to their lives, that just it's not a genie in a bottle kind of a response with the Lord. I think we would see this, and this has been a big part of my habit with prayer, that it's better than that, actually. There's this quiet assurance that comes from spending time with the Father that God is with me. And that's been the testimony of other people that I've seen as they spend time in this discipline of prayer and engaging with the Lord, that it comes upon them this assurance that God is with me, that as I go through my day, I have a peace about me, that God is with me, that he walks with me, that he's with me there in the troubled times, he's there in the difficulties, he's there as I face all the different parts of my day. I have this assurance that God is with me because I've spent some time with him and have a familiarity with him in my life. You see, and a lot of times when I skip that in the mornings, I find that my day is a little more chaotic, my day is a little more out of whack, because I haven't sat down and oriented myself in the morning and reshaped my life and said, it's basically a focus thing, right? I'm going to wake up in the morning and the first thing that I'm going to do is focus on God rather than my problems, rather than myself, rather than my busy schedule, rather than the things that I have on my list to do for the day. And Jesus modeled this. You know, I'm sure that Jesus wasn't as busy as you are, right? I mean, you've got important things on your mind. Jesus probably didn't. I mean, you know, he walked everywhere. He had a lot of time on his hands. Wasn't quite as busy as you are. Scripture says this, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus had his priorities oriented. He had a busy schedule. He had a busy life. He had people that were clamoring for his attention and pulling him in 100 different ways, just like you. And it says that he got up very early in the morning before everybody else was up, before the kids were up, before the wife was up. He didn't have a wife. I'm talking about you. Before everybody's up, distracting you for the day and pulling you in 1,000 different directions, and he oriented his day to the things of the kingdom, to the things of the Father. And here's why this is so critical to the development of our faith. Prayer is an expression of dependence. This is why we pray so well when there are circumstances we can't control. When you're at the hospital and some tragedy has happened, man, praying is easy, right? Because we know that, man, I can't fix this. I can't help this person. I am out of control and I need God to come in and give me some help. It's easy to do that when we're in a bind or when we're in a circumstance like that. But every day we're surrounded by these circumstances that we can't control. Whether they're an emergency or not, things are going on all the time and relationships are happening and people are doing stuff. And so beginning this our days alone in prayer is an expression of faith. It's a personal reminder of how dependent we really are on God. And it's in these quiet places that our minds are renewed to be true to what is true of us, to what is true of God, to what is true of his nature. And you even have an advantage over Jesus. I mean, you've got this book that you can carry around. Back then they had scrolls and it was a lot harder, but you've got all kinds of reminders about who God is in your life and what he's up to and the ways that he works. And so this time alone with God and in the Word as a reminder of who he is, of a help to you, of what he's up to, is a blessing to us. It's a discipline in your life that brings all kinds of fruit. And so it brings us to a place of an informed faith. We actually have faith because we read about it, we experience it, and it backs that up. And so here's the deal. In your life, either you've not been taught how to pray, or you just don't really believe that it's necessary. You don't really believe that it's effective. You don't really believe that it makes a difference. But if you do, if you take a chance, if you'll take a risk and say, God, I don't know. From my experience, I don't know. I haven't experienced regular times of prayer. I don't know what the result of that will be because I haven't tried it. If you'll try it, if you'll jump in there and say, I dare say that you're going to be surprised and amazed at the difference that it makes in your life. And so I want to challenge you guys this morning that you pre-decide. You see, discipline's a thing that you have to make a pre-decision about. You have to plan ahead because when you get in the moment, it's not going to feel like doing it. When I have to plan ahead and think about what I'm going to eat for lunch, if I'm going to be healthy or not. Because when I get to lunchtime, man, that green chili cheeseburger sounds really good. And it's a lot harder to say no to it. But if I'll think ahead of time and I plan ahead or make sure that I've got something healthy to eat lined up, then it's a lot easier to walk in that discipline. So it's a decision ahead of time. It's the same for you guys with prayer, with giving. If we pre-decide ahead of time that we're going to walk in these disciplines, that we're going to make the choice to grow our faith by engaging with the Lord in this regular habit of giving the first of our dollars and the first of our time, then we start seeing the benefits of those things come into our life and we start flexing our spiritual muscles and we start getting in shape and we start recognizing and realizing that these things really are truly a blessing. And so you start giving with a tithe or with a different percentage. I don't care where you start. I don't care how you do it. Start engaging the Lord and say, God, I want to do this. I want to take a step of faith, and I want to do this on a regular basis. I want to give this much every Sunday. And so that regularity of that gets you to a place where you start experiencing the faith of God. I would encourage you to jump in there with the whole thing. 10% of your income for every $100 that you make, $10 of that gets given to the Lord first thing on Sunday morning. It's a challenge. It's a stretch for a lot of people. It's a discipline. But guys, the blessing that comes from it is insurmountable. I thought it was crazy when I first heard about it. I didn't think I could do it. I didn't have the margin in my budget to make it happen. But we made a decision in our family to start doing it and see what the Lord would do. And it took some time, just like getting in shape physically. It takes a little time to work through that soreness. I didn't see the immediate benefits of giving. I didn't put money in the bucket on Sunday, and on Monday I got a windfall, you know, raise at work or something like that. It's a discipline. It's a habit. It sets you up in patterns for success. Start with 15 minutes of reading and prayer in the morning. Find you a devotional. We've got these Word for You Today devotionals that are out there in the foyer on your way out. They're real short. It's a great place to have it, a great place to start, because it's got a short little devotional every morning that takes you to a scripture, and you read through that, and you get a thought for the day, and you pray through that, and literally in 15 minutes, guys, it will change your life. Spending time with the Lord with the first minutes of your day and the first dollars of your paycheck will actually lead you to a place where faith will overwhelm you and your life will be different as you walk with God. Can I pray with you this morning? God, we thank you for these men. We thank you for this reality that getting in shape spiritually leads us to places of blessing and reward. Jesus, you're the one that said it in your scripture here in Matthew 6, that as we get our things in line, as we start giving, as we start praying, as we start fasting, I didn't even talk about that, when as we start engaging these spiritual disciplines, God, they increase our faith because it reminds us that we're completely dependent on you for our provision, for our lives, for all of our sustenance and the things that we do. And so, God, we want to be men of integrity, men who are full of faith, men who whose lives make a difference in this world. And as we walk through this world, we're reminded this morning that these disciplines, these regular habits that are done in private, that are not for show, that are not for bragging to anybody about how cool we are or what a great spiritual giant we are. These are things that are between us and you. That you build our faith through these things. As we learn to be dependent, as we learn to trust you, our faith grows. And you give us more and more responsibility and more blessing and more honor and more reward in our life than we could ever imagine. And so I pray for these men today, if they are making a choice to start getting in shape spiritually by giving their first dollars and their first minutes of their day to you, that you would honor that sacrifice, that you would honor that decision to put you first, God, and that you would meet them in those places, that you would provide for all of their needs, that you would provide abundant blessing, that you would provide riches of your glory in Christ Jesus. And we pray that they would experience this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.